Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. JB and Benny Blue, woo, coming, we running through. We number one is 100 views. Nah. Time at the top with a stunning view. Yeah. Chef's kiss with a hot plate. Do a Hail Mary, no pump fake. Nah. Damn straight, we in first place. Better buckle up, it's a hot take. Just press play.
Turn my mic on, man, we live.
We live.
Tell the pilot wheels up, we can ride.
We can ride.
We run the block, run the block.
We bout to slide.
About to slide.
Defend us,
die, die.
You can try.
Viewers, what is good? It is your man, Benny Blue. It is a bird. It's a plane. No, it's not Haley's Comet. It is not Loch Ness Monster or Sasquatch or Bigfoot. For the first time in a long time, we are back. The review is back for your listening and viewing pleasure. Coming up, we got some NFL season recap. We got some college football season recap. New coach hires, new college football playoff format, and a whole lot of mo. If it's your first time tapping in with us, make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue on all social media. You can also watch or listen to full episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Please five-star rate us. That helps us move up the goddamn charts and reach more savages like yourself. If you are tapping in this live stream, we are going to be on for about an hour or so on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. Please drop a comment or question, or we will get to that during the course of the show. My name is Benny Blue. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I am a co-host and podcaster of this fine program. But joining us, of course, is he Ronnie Coleman? Is he Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is he the new bodybuilding champion of the world? This man has been going through a holistic transformation, and we're definitely going to get the whole skinny on that, because this man is getting lean and mean, and he's becoming a machine. King JB himself, back on the program. Wes, that's right.
Listen. I appreciate the love. You know what I'm saying? No introduction is like a mini good introduction. Yeah, you're right, man. You know what I'm saying? The people, we are back, bro. We are back. I'm talking about like we left something. It's been a while since we've been on the hot mic, you know what I'm saying, and pause. And you know what I'm saying, it's just good to be back, man. Good to be back on the mic talking shit, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot going on, a lot has happened, a lot has transpired. We ain't been on the mic in definitely a year, man. Like, so yeah, you know, we just gonna do what we do, man. JB being good for the people all day, every day. I ain't gonna never change. And I am JB, you know what I'm saying, aka Jerry, British senior NFL veteran. Fitness professional, coach, mentor, all the above, public speaker, all the above, any and everything you can think of, you know what I'm saying, in the realm of sports, your boy does it, right? Hopefully soon to be employed with some NFL team, you know what I'm saying, as the area scout. But, you know, stay tuned. We'll see how that goes. So, we got a lot going on, man. And first, I want to say congratulations to my brother Benny, you know what I'm saying, recently engaged, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't think I had a chance to tell you congratulations to your face or even on the phone. So I think I'll probably just have to text or hit you on the IG tip, you know what I'm saying? Tell you congratulations to your sis. Hey, you already know how I go, you know what I'm saying? I'll be in a wedding, you know, just let me know. I'm falling in, baby, you know what I'm saying? You're all suited up, looking all cute, you know what I'm saying? And really, you know what I'm saying? Celebrate the new love, baby, the new love.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're gonna have to get a custom-made suit because you, sir, since we last spoke here toward really the beginning of the 2023 season, you have undergone and committed to quite the transformation, which people can see at kingjb.fitness. Give people just like a quick blurb about like what has been going on, what you have coming up competition-wise. This is a big deal, what you've been doing.
It is a pretty big deal. I trained for a show to do in December. You guys follow my social media, you know, it's daily. Dating this young lady, and you know, so we broke up, and it was weird, you know what I'm saying, for me to go through the show, and we broke up like a week before the show. So it would be weird, you know what I'm saying, in my mind, for me to get on stage at that point. She was a very instrumental part of me getting ready for that because she adopted, you know what I'm saying, what I had going on, and I appreciate her for that all day, every day. She was a huge part of my success. But of course, you know what I'm saying, you know, this train will never stop, right? This is something I was destined to do. I told myself I was going to do this in 2013 when I retired from the NFL, and around about 2014-15 when I got in the industry of fitness, I told myself this is something that I was going to do, and it was just a matter of time. But you got to have your mind right to do this. So since I spoke to you last, I probably dropped about 40 pounds. You know, if you see the transformation, you see the pictures on KingsAB.fitness, my page, man, it's unbelievable, right? Even when I look at myself, it's still unreal to see myself like this, because as an adult, of course, I was a ball player and offensive lineman. I've never seen myself look like this. The actual show is going to be in June 15th, the show date. It's going to be here in the Valley. And as I tell everybody, when I walk on stage, I want people to be walking off stage. Right, that's the point of my appearance. It's a physique show. It's natural. I'm not on no gear. I'm as natural as they come. The only thing I'm taking is creatine and branched-chain amino acids and, you know, nitric oxide and things of this nature. Like, all this natural stuff. So there's no metabolic, no anabolic, nothing going to my body. Right, no tests, no nothing. It's just hard work and dedication. And as I like to hashtag on most of my posts, my reels hashtag hard work pays off. Bottom line. So yeah, and we're not gonna stop. That's the thing. It's gonna never stop. So this is my lifestyle. This is just what I do. It's my profession at this point. But this will never stop. This is something I promised myself years ago, and it's just me manifesting what I told myself years ago.
Well, it's an amazing thing to watch and listen, reviewers. If you need any sort of motivation, whether you are a avid fitness professional or if you're just trying to start your journey, look no further than JB's page, JB.fitness. If you want motivation, if you want technique, JB's dropping a lot of content as far as technique, different workouts, different you know, sets that you can do, and really the target and honestly get the most out of your, you know, your muscle growth experience in particular. And yeah, man, it's been a crazy thing to watch, because I tell people all the time, I've said this on the show and off the show, when I met you, you were still basically at playing weight, and you had like a different body type. You literally had a different body type, and now you look legitimately like a bodybuilder, which is crazy. It was like, you truly are getting lean to me. I've been seeing the poses, like I've been seeing it. You've been doing it.
Yeah, man, we got it. Listen, I'm fully focused. Like right now, we're back in prep. You know, just somebody drinking beer. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a bodybuilder. So I just want people to understand that. I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm a man that, you know what I'm saying, that set a goal, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm doing the things that are necessary and required to achieve that goal. So, again, I'm not a bodybuilder. The benefits, you're going to look a certain way when you lift a certain way, when you do certain things, you do bodybuilder things, you're going to look like a bodybuilder. But get it twisted, not. I'm an athlete, right? So, the see videos you see on the track and so on and so forth. And it's trippy to me how when I'm in the weight room and I'm in the gym and I'm doing these exercises, I do like a bodybuilder. But when I'm on the track, I don't like a bodybuilder. Right? I like an athlete. Right? So that's who I am. I'm an athlete. And my objective is to continue to get better and get in better and better shape. Every year that goes by in my life, every year I'm blessed to be another year. You know what I'm saying? Every year I'm blessed to see another year. I'm on, you know, basically – thank God by continuing to put myself and get myself in the best shape possible going forward. So as of right now, again, June 15th, the show date, continue to post that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Let you guys know exactly where the venue's at. And yeah, I'm touching down to Carl's Hill. Where's the new booster?
All right. Well, listen, June 15th, and when it's coming up, we're definitely going to be sharing all the information so you can come out and support or just show your love in general, you know, on, of course, all of our social media pages. We had our illustrious little brother, Mitch. There he is, joining us from Parts Unknown, a.k.a. a camper in Washington. He is back from KSUCasualSports.com, Arizona, joining us from rural Washington somewhere. Money making Mitchell Hughes, how are you doing?
We're back.
There he is.
Not muscle making JB. We got marriage having Betty Blue. We got money making Mitch. We're back. Also, I heard you do something with KSRN in my intro. I don't believe I'm with KSRN doing articles anymore. I am on my own, working in places unknown, ready to do this show all over again.
Mitch, why the hell do you sound like you're trying to sell used cars right now? That's just like,
because I got your cars. I got an 06 Prius, slightly used, 250,000 miles. and it will run 20 more thousand miles. Good luck.
It's like everything must go. All you need is a fucking waving, flailing thing behind you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Mitch is clearly falling on hard times. He now lives in a camper and selling Honda Accords. So, you know, that's his life now. So, you know, it was a hard fall from the top, Mitch. But how are you doing? First of all, we haven't actually spoke to you in a minute. So how are you just doing as money making Mitch? How is life?
We are doing good. I'm back on the sports circuit after right. the Diamondbacks World Series that burned me out because, you know, watching 180 mm-hmm. baseball games is way too much for any human to do. I'm back on the sports circuit. Took a little break, but I am ready to be back.
All right. Well, goddamn it, we are back. We have some savage NFL and college football recap, so get into it right now. And for the Super Bowl, the Chiefs Kingdom, the Kansas City Taylor Swifts, defeated the Niner Gang 25-22 in OT for back-to-back Super Bowl titles. Let the record show, viewers, that JB and Mitch correctly picked the Chiefs to go back to the Super Bowl, although they picked the rematch with the Eagles. I picked the Eagles and the Bengals, and only Mitch picked the Chiefs to win it again. So, Mitch, what was your overall assessment of the game? And as we were going through the playoffs, was there a time either at the end of the season or during the playoffs where you thought, oh, the Chiefs, they might run this thing back and they might actually do it?
My biggest scare for the Chiefs was when they lost to the Raiders in that gross fashion. But I thought after the Titans beat the Dolphins, which made the Dolphins lose home court, which meant Kansas City got a game to get their crap back together, I thought they had a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. I thought the 49ers were not going to make it. I thought Lions were a better matchup against them. I thought Lions could have potentially made it to the Super Bowl at that point. And then I wasn't going to have much hope for the Chiefs if they did that. But when I saw 49ers, I did a little deep dive into seeing what the, you know, the pros and cons of each team are. And I was pretty confident. As I told you guys, I saw halftime 49ers were up by 10. Bet on the Chiefs at that moment. I was a pretty confident person once the Chiefs and 49ers made it.
Nicely done. And JB, listen, you're no stranger to giving the Niners hell. So on the Niners side, what did you think about Shanahan's game planning? Obviously, they're pounding the rock pretty well with CMC. Purdy had kind of a slow start, then he got going. But then what was in question is what they were doing in overtime. Did they know all the rules and all that shit? So what was your assessment of what the Niners did in the game? Once again, getting to the Super Bowl, having an opportunity to win, and then tricking it off in classic small Shanahan fashion.
Choke artist Shanahan. I was just going to call it spade a spade. You know, it started from the Super Bowl, he was obviously at Atlanta versus New England Patriots, of course, you know what I'm saying, blowing a 28-point lead because of his questionable play calling. Now, kind of the same thing happened in this Super Bowl, right? They were pounding the rock. CMC was having a decent game. You know, it's going to be hard fought. Point blank period. It's going to be hard fought. There's two of the best defenses in the league. Of course, Frank Nasty is going to be the more superior defense of mine in my mind. But Wilkes did a great job, right? Side note, 49ers are assholes for firing Steve Wilkes. Just call it a spade. Call it what it is, right? That's all I'm going to say about that, right? So outside of that, Shanahan blew it again, right? Pretty choked, which that's expected. You know, there's a lot of pressure. And they got out of coach, which, of course, when it all said and done, I told people I pretty much predicted exactly how the game was going to go. I just thought there was going to be more points scored, right? I knew it was going to be some drama in the third quarter where they were going to kind of stumble. I knew the fourth was going to be a kind of war of attrition. I couldn't predict the overtime. I thought the Kansas City was going to try to kind of ice it with a field goal to win it and win it by about 10 points because they were just going to kind of eventually take over the game like the last 6 or 7 minutes left. Overtime, San Francisco took the ball. Okay, quote unquote, they didn't know the rules. Hey, listen, we have an NFL meeting. Every year, the beginning of every year, we have an NFL players meeting in which the referees come in and discuss the new rules. Now, the hottest thing going for the last 2 years was, of course, after the Buffalo game and the Kansas City game was the overtime rules in the playoffs, All right, well, the other team should have a chance to get the ball. Okay, great. Well, the other team's got a chance to get the ball. Right? Y'all had it first, couldn't do shit with it. Kansas City took it down the court. You don't know the overtime rule? It's your goddamn fault, right? That's your head coach's fault. That's a lack of preparation, right? And, of course, that's just not attention to detail. There's no stone to be left unturned when you're playing the Super Bowl. This is the granddaddy of them all. It's the end all, right? There's no more games after that until goddamn September. So what do you mean you don't know the rules? That kind of shit is that. That sounded weird as hell. I've heard more excuses than that. I've heard more excuses from 49ers fans, 49ers players, right, since they lost that damn game. And then, of course, again, to top it all off, they fired Steve Wilks, who had the number top, and whose defense was in the top three the entire year. In damn near every statistical category, you fired a man. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? They're going to get what they deserve coming down the line. I'm just going to predict this. I don't think San Francisco is going to have much success going forward the next 2 or 3 years. I think Shanahan is going to eventually get fired because you keep choking, fam. You got all this talent, right? Everybody knows that your offense is a system. We've talked about this multiple times on our podcast. It's a system, right? This is why Purdy, Mitch, right, is having such success, right?
Purdy, because it's a system.
We've watched multiple quarterbacks in this system have success, right? The one that we just go really hard on, you know, saying who's trash, to be honest, Jimmy Garoppolo, right, has success in the 49ers offense because it's a system. You learn how to run that system. They make it friendly for you. They run the ball. Good things happen, period. So I don't think this 49ers going to have much success going forward. I think they're going to kind of fall apart. They already got some cap issues going on. There's a lot of money been spent. So, yeah, we'll leave it there. Yeah. Same on you, 49ers.
I wouldn't call Jimmy Garoppolo trash if I were you, JB. I'm trying to find some sports betting places where I can go and put you as an assistant coach for the Raiders. And we don't know what's going on with Garoppolo. So I would like to put some money down. So don't call him trash and ruin my prediction.
Garoppolo got cut.
He could get re-signed. Don't ruin it.
And who picked him up? All right? Who picked him up? If he's a quality quarterback, you're going to get him right now to at least be your good backup, to at least be your A1 backup. Ain't happened yet.
Yeah, so, and Garoppolo will be suspended for two games for violating the PED rule, and I guess he has been cut or is going to get cut. Mitch, real quick before we move on, do you want to take any opportunity to defend your guy Purdy Fever in like 30 seconds?
Yes. While I do agree that I think he's more than just a system quarterback. I think he can read. He can read that his ability to the best possible. Like, he definitely sees things before others do. A little bit, just like Tom Brady had early on in his career. He was able to do that. Yes, he has a lot of talent around him, but he is able to go and do what is needed, and he is accurate, which is all you really ask for.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And be the system. I think both things can be true, but you know, listen, the Chiefs' championship pedigree shine through, even though their receivers' hands were made out of fucking straight stone this year, so they got to figure that shit out. But either way, shout out to them, and shout out to fucking Travis Kelce's upcoming action movie that he's probably going to be in while filming in the summer. So that's great. Moving right along, I believe only one of us on this goddamn show picked my kitties to win the NFC North. You two pick the goddamn Vikings. And gentlemen, I'll tell you what, we're going to get into our college football. But JB, this is like in eight year history of doing this shit. That's right, I said 8 years. This is easily the greatest fucking football year that I've had. And we're going to get to this. I am the only person on this damn show that has had a team that has won a fucking title in the time that we have done this show, which you're going to get to in a moment. But the Kitties, they won the NFC North for the first time since 93. It was the NFC Central back then. They hosted their first game at Ford Field, and they made their first NFC Championship since 1991. We can get into the game in a second where they had the lead and tricked it off. Dan Campbell was trying to play Madden on rookie mode again. Should have took some points. He blew it, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. But overall, your assessment of the Kitties and what they've done in the rebuild and what they did this season with maybe where the expectations were to what they actually ended up doing this year.
I knew they were going to be special. Man, I didn't know they were going to be that special. Man, it was fun to watch. You know, even though we did our picks, I would pick against them a lot, right? Because I was just waiting on them to fall because that's what the fuck they usually do, right? So, you know what? Shout out to Dan Campbell and his crew. He did a great job preparing those kids, those young men, those grown men to play ball every Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whatever time of day they took the field. They were always prepared to win. They were always in every game they played. They were scrapping, fighting, right? And of course, you know, the outcome was outcome. You know what I'm saying? When you play good ball, you play fast, you play discipline. It's the three things that they played with all year. You get that. You get that team, right? So shout out to the kids. And I feel like they're going to be good for quite a while coming up. They're going to get some key pieces. And they're going to be good going forward. As far as the game, I mean, you know, shame on you, Dan Campbell. Like, you kick two field goals, y'all didn't win the game. I'm sorry. Y'all went to the Super Bowl. All right, and everybody's going, you can't say that because, you know, you don't know how to say it. The word momentum, Benny, right, is powerful, especially more so in football than anything. We've all seen games where momentum switched and the team that gains momentum seems like they can do no wrong and the team that lost momentum can do nothing right. So that's basically what happened. The 49ers gained that momentum and it was like Detroit was done behind him not kicking one fucking field goal. Then he did it again. And more momentum gain. So every time he didn't kick a field goal, San Francisco capitalized and scored on it. Momentum gaining, momentum gaining, momentum gaining. Things fall apart for Detroit. And they blow an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl for the first time in history of the franchise. Come on, man. Like, you know, he then, of course, he's like, in typical Dan Campbell fashion, well, I gamble and I lost. Well, ain't your goddamn money to gamble, bro. Like, it's not your money. You gambling with house money. You done borrowed some money from your boys, you know what I'm saying, to go play blackjack and you done lost that shit. Right. Like, that warrants an action, right? So, shame on him, man, for that. You know what I'm saying? And if I could put one bad move on him, that's the only thing I can say that he did wrong this season to me. Right? He went for it, he was gutsy, you know, you live by that, I guess. Like, you know, he had the balls to do certain things at the same time. You have to play football. You got to coach football. Sometimes football one-on-one kicks in. You just have to do it by the book. That would have got you a win, man.
Right. Exactly. I mean, listen, he was known for the gambling. He played the analytics, and a lot of times it worked. But in this instance, he went to the casino one too many times, and he definitely took some money out of Junior's college fund to try to make a bold move, and it didn't work. Mitch, you were talking about, you know, what you maybe wanted to see in the matchup as opposed to the Niners. When you look at the NFC Championship, you know, the way that they were moving the ball on offense in the first half and really kind of stifling the Niners. I mean, what were your thoughts on my Kitties in that game? And like, did you feel like, in your feeling, did they seem like a contender, or did you feel like it kind of kicked in where it was like the one year too early factor kicked in for Detroit at some point, do you think?
Ooh, that last part you stuck me on a little bit. So I think they were real contenders. I know I was stifling you all year just being a jerk about it, but they were contenders. I think if we did this earlier, I was against Dan Campbell for the move. I'm still not a big fan of it, but I do want to say the game to me came down to this 100%. Detroit had two opportunities to intercept the ball. They missed them. Duke had the craziest reception off of a helmet bounce stupid thing that turned into a super easy touchdown. And like, it was like God came out and was like, oh, shoot, I forgot you're the Lions. Boo, bad luck, bad luck, bad luck. Boo, boo, boo. And like, that's what it felt like.
Can you agree, though, that if they would have kicked those threes, if they'd have kicked that first three, right, that helmet shit would never happen, right? You got to look at it like that, right? So when you get a team down to a certain extent, or when they're steady clawing up, they don't take many chances, right? So they would have had to literally reboot everything they were doing, but that's what I mean. Like, you fuck up and you don't get the points. Now, stupid shit starts to happen, And you're like, well, what the fuck? No, you kick those three and you keep them climbing upward. That way the momentum doesn't ever get to them to the point where they're like, yes, we can actually win this game. They're steady calling like, fuck, these dudes kicking our ass. And what can we do? They're steady in disarray as opposed to, them getting to the point where they're like, yes, we're back on level playing field. Now let's go. Nah, you don't want to do that. Keep them in the fucking hole. Detroit could have literally cruised to a fucking Super Bowl. Right? Literally could have cruised to a Super Bowl if this man would have just did what he's supposed to do to coach football 101. Right? So, yeah, they had opportunity to miss the interception, but those things would have never been – they'd have never been there. Right? So, yeah, that's a great point, Mitch. You know, it's an interception miss, but it goes back to those 3 points. Don't kick it. Fuck up. San Francisco capitalizes. Don't kick it again. Fuck up. San Francisco capitalizes. Right? So, yeah, that's – damn you, Dan Campbell. I want to see Detroit this shit.
I appreciate the support. So listen, they had a hell of a season and they're building it the right way. And you know, we're definitely gonna see how they continue to grow next year. Draft's coming up. You know, we're gonna talk about that here down the line. But shout out to the Kitties for having the best season in a very long time. Now, Mitch, a team that was you had back in the Super Bowl, the EAGLES Eagles. Really struggled down the stretch. They lost their last 5 of 6, and they got mollywopped by Baker Mayfield's Bucks in the wild card. Of course, they lost Shane Steichen to the Colts and Jonathan Gannon to JB's Bird Gang, respectively. So do you feel like Nick Sirianni has officially been exposed as a fraud as a head coach, Mitch? What do you think?
What's so sad about this is I had the Cowboys doing better than the Eagles, but I had the Eagles going 5 of 6 or 4 of 6 in the first 6, not the last 6 and ruining it. That being said, I think he got exposed a little bit, but the Eagles aren't going to give him a second chance. They've neutered him. Like, they were just like, here, I'm going to castrate you, wrap that around you like a bull, and you're never mating again. Sorry. Like, we're never going to know if he was exposed because they were like, they fired everybody that was his guy, and they were like, we're bringing in our own guys. We're going to run my, like, they've neutered him completely. So I think he got a little exposed, but he's not going to have a chance to go and learn how to learn from this getting exposed kind of thing. So Sirianni's in a bad spot. I don't think this is good for the Eagles at all.
And in the offseason, they did hire Kellen Moore as their OC, and they got Vic Fangio now as their DC. So, JB, I mean, when you saw, like, when you were seeing the Eagles, like, down the stretch, they're going in the playoffs, like, What was going through your mind, like, watching them finishing out the regular season and going into the wild card?
They looked out of sync, man. Like, they looked completely out of sync. Like, there's a dissension amongst the ranks when it comes to just period. Like, teammates, coaches, like, there was, you know, some little bickering going on between coaches and players. And there was bickering going on between players and players. And, like, they just looked out of sync, right? It looked like the team of Philadelphia last year, the year before last, rather, that was just like, you know, the real, you know, city of brotherly love, team of brotherly love, and the success that they're having, it just looked out of sync. I think that, I don't know if their success, you know, got to them and they start smelling their own piss, as the old folks say, and they just, you know, took some hits to the head because I guess they felt like motherfuckers going to lay down for the big man Philadelphia Eagles. It don't work that way, right? So, yeah, Sirianni definitely got exposed as far as, like, the preparation aspect. The OC that they had probably should have never got the job. The DC that they had, pretty bad. And so as a head man picking his delegation, he did a pretty shitty job, right, to be honest. So like Mitch said, you know, so they pretty much, you know what I'm saying, tied his hands behind his back and was like, nah, bro, you straight. We're going to bring in some guys that we know can coach. You know what I'm saying? You said you're trying to put your boys on. You know, it don't work like that because y'all not having success doing that. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring in some old heads that got experience. And then, of course, you know what I'm saying, we'll see. Now, Kellen Moore has been on a lot of people's head coach list, right? So him being a new OC, I think that's kind of a blanket or a fallback net for Philly just in case they got to get rid of Sirianni ass after week 4, right? So Kellen Moore goes to be the head coach and moves on to be the head coach. So they kind of like got their guy behind their guy. So if their guy don't do what he's supposed to do, then their other guy will take the reins.
Mm-hmm. And look, JB, I know this is something that you mentioned in our patent production meeting that you wanted to talk about, kind of gearing it over to the AFC. You look at Baltimore, you look at you know, Buffalo. At this point, they've been kind of stuck at this place. I know it's something that you want to talk about, both these squads. Where do you talk about, like, you know, where you see these guys going, and even some of the coordinators? I mean, hell, you look at Ken Dorsey, he's fucking losing his shit, and then now he gets hired by the Browns. They move up Joe Brady. There's some shuffling in the decks, and then you kind of look at these teams, it's like, what do they really need to do to get over the hump? But when you look at Baltimore and Buffalo specifically, where does your mind go as far as, like, where the hell are they at this point?
Buffalo is in a bad way to me. I think they're about to fall apart. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know what I'm saying? They keep talking about Diggs flying the coop. They're talking about, you know what I'm saying, who's going to be their pair, who's going to replace him. Teams are chomping at the bit, trying to trade for him. And we were even in the mix. They were talking about us, you know what I'm saying, trying to possibly cop Stephon Diggs. And I was like, no. Keep that diva where he's at. So, keep that diva where he's at. Or keep away from Arizona. But as far as Baltimore goes, I don't know what their thought process was going to that game, but the run game got them the success that they had. Their success came from running the ball, whether it be by hook or by crook, meaning whether we planned to run or whether Lamar took off, right? Lamar played pocket passer the whole game. Now, he is a pocket passing quarterback. He can do it. He's been doing it his whole damn career. He did it in college, so I'm going to get that out the way right now. I'm not going to say he's a running quarterback. He just has the great ability to run the ball. And when you do run the ball as Lamar Jackson, there are eyes that have to go towards him. Well, those eyes go to him. They go off so-and-so. But this is how we get big plays. This is how we get over the top to the young boy. You know what I'm saying? This is how we get Odell wide open in the middle. You know what I'm saying? This is how these things occur. I don't understand the game plan. It didn't make no sense, right? And again, the frustration, right? I had Lamar acting out of character as far as player-wise. He's doing shit that you don't see him do, or you haven't seen him do, right, the whole season. He's played a phenomenal season. He got MVP, of course, right? Well-deserved. But then he plays like this in the AFC Championship. It's like, how does that equate? Well, it's a lack of preparation. That's coaches harping on certain things, and his mind, he's thinking, okay, damn, it's going to be there. He took sacks when he didn't need to, didn't have to, things of this nature. So shame on the coaching staff for putting together that horrible game plan that basically, you know, screwed him out of a trip to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. And Mitch, you're the resident AFC aficionado. When you look at where Baltimore and Buffalo are now contending these last few years, but just kind of getting stuck in neutral when it means the most, I mean, what is your kind of assessment of, like, where they're at, maybe what they do well, and where, I mean, what needs to actually change for them to get over the hump?
I think the Stephon Diggs is, like, the hardest thing for me with Buffalo, where that's clearly going to mess them up a little bit. But I don't really have worries for Buffalo, because if you look back in the playoffs, they pretty much lose to the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, and it's always the best game. The best game of the playoffs is always Buffalo, mm-hmm, Chiefs. Josh Allen plays his best against the Chiefs, never throws an interception, doesn't do stuff wrong, but then somehow something happens where Chiefs get the ball last. It happens every time. I have no fear right now for the Bills unless Stephon Diggs really screws it up. But I think they're in a great place. They just need to keep their head on tight and then hope to God they don't get the Chiefs somehow next year like they always do. The Ravens, on the other hand, I think what screwed them was definitely their what screwed them was definitely the game plan they went in with. But what's really weird to me is I felt like the coaches were like, we want to prove Lamar can pass, even though we know he can pass, whatever. But, like, right, we want media to change. And they were like, we're going to let Lamar win the game by passing. And it's like, or why don't you just win the game? How about that? Like, don't worry about what the media says. Just win the damn game.
Right.
You go to a Super Bowl. If you win a Super Bowl, you know who shuts up? I'll even shut up, which I don't do.
And that's a Christmas miracle, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. It's like Luka dropping 70 on the Suns during Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle for me.
Had to slide that one in there, didn't
I
you?
Did.
Hey, Mitch, what a segue, because it takes us to ding, how about them cowgirls? I mean, them cowboys, gentlemen. When I turned on this game during the playoffs, I nearly had a stroke. I was like, you were letting Jordan Love and the Packers come in and run y'all off the block, Mitch. They did it again. The Cowboys cowboyed again. I fucking love it. They lose in the wild card, 48-32. Fucking old jury says we're staying with old Mike McCarthy. They're keeping everything the same, and you know what that means. They're going to win 12 wins again, and it doesn't even matter if they win the division. They're going to blow it again. Mitch, what did you see from the Cowboys blowing it, and do you believe that they're going to run it back, did the same thing, had the same result, and fucking Bill Belichick is going to become the Cowboys head coach, just like his mentor, Bill Parcells? What do you think? What are you crystal balling in the Big D?
I forgot that was my prediction at one point. That's how much stupid stuff I say. Now, JB, I feel like I'm going to attack my JB a little bit here, but I think Mike McCarthy is the NFL Doc Rivers. I have zero faith in these dudes. They hit the playoffs, and I'm like, I can't wait to watch you lose. I watch this every year. I watch Dallas lose to Green Bay, or I watch Dallas lose to San Francisco. I watch it every damn year. I don't understand why we keep talking about Dallas so much. I know next year, you know who they're going to lose to? Green Bay or the 49ers. Been watching it for like 6 years straight. And you know who is still coaching them? Mike McCarthy, who loves to lose to Green Bay, his old team, and the 49ers, the team that used to destroy him in Green Bay. That's what's going to happen. Mike McCarthy, not a fan of you. The coach, you've been boring the shit out of me for 6 years. Let's do something different.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Oh, JB, what do you think?
Well, there's a lot that needs to happen in Dallas. First of all, Jimmy Jones needs to step the fuck down and let somebody run that team, right? Who's literally coherent, right? like sleepwalking, you know what I'm saying? He's like a fucking skeleton walking, right? So the man's old. I mean, you know what? You did what you did back in the day. Okay, let it go, baby. Find somebody that can run your team for you, that can get a better coach in there. You guys got talent out the ass, right? And I'm like Mitch, we're tired of seeing you lose. I knew they were gonna lose. I predicted they were gonna lose, right? We knew they were gonna lose, right? So and then to the young Packer team, you know? So it's like, that's embarrassing as hell. They got to get it together, right? As much as I hate to say it, and I've said this on this podcast multiple times, the NFL is just better when storied franchises are playing well, right? When these storied franchises, the Pittsburghs, the Minnesotas, the Dallases, the Green Bays, the NFL is just better when these teams are having success. So Dallas got to get their shit together, because that's trash. That's so bad.
Yeah, I agree. Old jury's got to step down. I think they were cursed until they put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. We'll see if that improves. They may have to extend Dak. But I think the biggest thing is the Jones family needs to fucking chill out on making decisions, goddammit. Mitch, you got one more point. What you got?
I will say, I think next year we're going to talk more a lot about Jordan Love. He did catch fire at the second half of the season. This kid might actually have something. I didn't think he caught on a little late for anyone else to catch on, but I definitely think that he might be the real deal, and that's why they beat the Cowboys.
Well, they'll have one more year to decide if they want to extend him. So they're probably gonna see if it was real, if it was a mirage. He's gonna turn back into a pumpkin. Mitch, keeping it with your tins, we're gonna start covering our own teams. You talk
I don't
about
do that. I don't
too,
do
too bad. No, nope, too bad. You're contractually obligated to talk about your bum ass mediocre Titans. They go 6-11. They fire Mike Vrabel to hire Bengals OC Brian Callahan, and they have over $65 million in cap space. GM money making Mitch, if you were making the decisions for the Titans, what are you going to do going into 2024?
I'm going to stop signing wide receivers to 2-year deals that are over like 37 years of age and not use them correctly. That's going to be one thing. I am going to go and try. I mean, and the wide receivers are good. Not take that the wrong way. I really think that, you know, they hired Brian Callahan. He's coming from the Bengals offense coordinator. They think I am putting all hands on deck on that offense. I'm going to go and I mean, I liked Mike Vrabel. I told you guys I wanted Mike Vrabel to stay. I was not a fan of that one. But I'm going the exact opposite now. I am going to go. I'm getting rid of Henry. I'm getting rid of everyone. And I'm getting a very explosive, hot offense, trying to go as much Dolphins-like as I can to make it fast and fun. And then just that's where all my $65 million is going. But that being said, please keep Derrick Henry. He's the only reason I still watch you guys.
moving on to your Cardinals. Your Cardinals go 4-13 in Jonathan Gannon's first season, and they have the number 4 pick in the draft. JB, what was your overall state of the Bird Gang for the Cardinals, and what do you think the future holds as far as like their needs? And Kyler came back, played well, all that stuff.
I like just the flow. I like the attitude.
It's 9 o'clock.
I like the comparison. Not the comparison. But I like the competitive spirit, right? It was just different the whole year to watch them play. They were excitable. They were fun to watch. Felt like they were going to win any game they played. The attitude's changed completely. Again, there's onus on accountability. Kyler coming back, playing well. This kid looked different. His body language completely different. And, of course, going forward, I'm super optimistic about what we're going to be able to do next year. Of course, our main concern is offensive line, right? We got to shore up the middle of the offensive line. And we got to bring in another running back that can play with and complement Connor. I don't think we should get rid of him at all. I think he's the heart and soul of our offense, to be honest. We got a great young tight end in Williams. The kid behind him is very dynamic as well. And receiver-wise, you know, we got Hollywood. We got the young boy. Like, we got some good things going, right? Of course, we got the number 4 pick. We'll see how it goes. Marvin Harrison III would be great. Like, is he the third or the second? He's second, right? Marvin Harrison II, right?
Junior. Junior.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be great to have. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we have a 27th pick as well, right? So, do we use that 4th pick for capital, right? And get a couple of 2s and a 3 or 2 and a couple of 3s, right? And give somebody that 4th pick and just keep our 27th and pick then? I don't know, right? To Tulsa. We'll see how it goes, but I know for sure we got to address offensive line first. We do need a couple. We need a couple edge rushers, one veteran, one young. We do need a defensive backfield. We need another shutdown corner, right? We need some things, but just key pieces. We don't need to rebuild. That's the thing. We just need to add pieces to our puzzle. Again, start one offensive line. I feel like we're going to be just fine next year. I think we're very competitive next year.
Yeah, look, I mean, they definitely played hard. Hell, they beat the Cowboys. They stole some games, and I think they actually played hard and started to develop a winning culture under Gannon. I thought Kyler played well when he came back. I like what I saw from Trey McBride and some of the playmakers. I like Rondale Moore. Trey McBride and then Rondale Moore was great. I think he's versatile because he's a good special teams player as well. So I think there's some good pieces, like you said. I mean, could Marvin Harrison be their next Fitz? Hopefully with some jewelry on his finger, that could be the thing. Mm. Or like you said, they can wheel and deal, and they could get some more capital to try to add some more pieces. So we're going to see coming in to the draft coming up here in April, which is in Detroit, which is pretty tight. All right. Speaking of great players, Mitch, NFL honors came and went. Just going back to our predictions in September of last year for MVP, JB picked Hurts, I picked Joe Burrow, and you actually picked Patrick Mahomes, which was honestly a pretty damn good pick. So you have Lamar taking MVP. Coach of the year, JB had Nick Sirianni. Jesus Christ. I had MCDC Dan Campbell. Mitch, you had Sean Payton. For offensive rookie of the year, I correctly picked CJ Stroud. JB picked Bryce Young, and Mitch picked Bijan Robinson. For defensive rookie of the year, JB got that correctly. He picked Will Anderson. Mitch, you and I picked Jalen Carter from the Eagles. For offensive player of the year, it was Christian McCaffrey. And let's see, where do we have that one? Do we have that one? I think we picked that one. Did we? It's a rookie of the year. But anyway, there was a, that was CMC, then you had Myles Garrett, and then comeback player of the year was Joe Flacco. Coach of the year was Kevin Stefanski. Mitch, did you, were you happy with all of these? Do you feel like the it should be after the season when they do these? Like, Mitch, what are your thoughts on all the winners of these main categories?
I'm not a big awards person. I understand the point of them. My favorite is comeback player of the year, Joe Flacco. They're the dude that died and couldn't get enough tackles when he came back to win comeback player of the year, which was like, if you got 2.5 tackles, you probably would have won. But Joe Flacco comes back 4 weeks before this season and wins it all. That's amazing. Besides that, it's all pretty. I mean, Stefanski was a really good pick. I really like that one. After that, it's all kind of, I know I was wrong, but it's kind of predictable. MVP, a quarterback, offensive rookie of the year. I purposely chose running back because I was tired of it being a quarterback. Quarterback one. You know, like, is offensive player. They wanted a offensive player eventually to win MVP, so we always choose a running back because we feel bad for running backs. We do this shit every year. Like, it's not interesting to me.
All right, Jimmy. What are you?
I'm cool with all of them, man. Except for Fancy. Right?
Yeah,
I felt like man's our guy over in Houston. It was that should have got coach of the year. Like that was like hands down. Yeah, he still got like hands down rookie quarterback, rookie head coach. Like,
and they beat the Browns.
A team that wasn't very good to boot coming in. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then to turn them around to a playoff team first year. That was a no brainer. And then of course, but there's people with no brains picking this stuff. So whatever, it's the fancy guy, you got it, you know what I'm saying? Congratulations to him. Everything else I'm cool with. I can see it, you know what I'm saying? Either way. But everything else is cool. Joe Flacco coming back, you know, kind of screwed Damar Hamlin, like you said, out of the comeback player of the year. But I mean, he came and he played well. He started and he played well. So he kind of had to get the deal at that point.
Do you think that Damar Hamlin would have won comeback player of the year? Because I don't even think he would. I don't know who second place would have been.
I don't even know if he would have. Yeah. I don't believe I picked him.
You didn't pick Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you picked Deshaun Watson. Damar Hamlin. Yep.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I don't believe he would, you know, and it was a great story and everything, but I didn't believe that he would win it anyway. So.
Yeah, I agree. I don't even really think he did remotely enough, even without Flacco. Like when the season started, it seemed like a lock because of the story, like we talked about. But like he was basically non-existent for this entire season. So I don't even think he was really a serious contender to begin with. So Flacco coming in off the couch, 87 years old, and slinging it and learning that offense and coming in, I mean, hard to pick against that one.
And I genuinely think that's why Stefanski got it, was because they weren't on their second-string quarterback. I don't even know if they were on their third. They were on their Joe Flacco-string quarterback.
Yeah, that's why he's literally his own string. It's first, second, third, practice squad, bus driver, Joe Flacco. That's how that goes.
Oh, my God, Joe Flacco bought his own ticket here? Yeah, we'll give him a shot.
Yeah, like, whatever.
Joe Flacco is a fucking groundskeeper. Joe Flacco is an undergroundskeeper. Don't be a groundskeeper.
He was popping the floors. All right, and speaking of coaches, finally wrapping up this NFL Savage recap. Coaching carousel, gentlemen. Harbaugh to the Chargers. Antonio Pierce gets the interim tag removed and stays with the Raiders.
Ron Mayo gets the
patch job after Bill Belichick leaves, parts ways, or even call it. Mike McDonald comes from the Ravens to the Squawks. Raheem Morris to the Falcons. That was one of my personal favorites. Dave Canales to the Panthers, and then Quinn to the Commies. Of course, we talked about Brian Callahan to the Titans. So, JB, of all these moves, which do you think was the best and why?
Can I ask you guys a question? Am I thinking about somebody else who was Raheem Morris with the Falcons one time before?
I know who you're –
there was a different Morris. He was – Alfred Morris was like the running back for the Falcons for a year. There were the different.
No. They had an interim coach who was a young black cat, and I want to say it was Raheem Morris, but I don't know. I keep thinking it was him, but it might have been somebody else. But My favorite was, of course, AP staying with the Raiders.
He was, he was there. He was there. He was also with Tampa Bay. So you're right. Your instinct is right. He was there, and he was an assistant head coach with the Falcons from 2016 to 19. Then he was a DC, and then he took the Rams job. So that's what you were thinking.
Okay. Yeah, I just felt like he was at some point he was an interim head coach. I don't know why, but anyway, go. No, neither here
with
nor there.
Tampa Bay.
Huh?
With Tampa Bay, he was head coach. Yep. But go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, AP getting the job with the Raiders was the best one to me. Of course, Harbaugh going to the Chargers, I think, is going to be the best for the team. Does that make sense? Like, I think he's going to be the one that has the greatest impact on a team, because Chargers have too much talent. You know what I'm saying? The kid Herbert, you know what I'm saying? He's a good quarterback. They got solid offensive line, great defense. Like, and then, of course, Harbaugh's going to do his thing. Who's got it greater than us? Nobody. But, and then, of course, shout out to Gerard Mayo getting the job as the heir apparent to Bill Smelichek over there in motherfucking New England. Right? You know what I'm saying? He got a lifetime supply of Dunkin' Donuts and Dunkin' Donuts products. You know what I'm saying? And it's his signing bonus. So shout out to Gerard Mayo. You know what I'm saying? Stay at home with you. You know, play with him for a number of years. Mike McDonald going to Seahawks. Head scratcher. Like, what? And then, of course, Quinn to the Commies. Man, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We'll see. And then, of course, Canales to the Panthers. They're really excited about that cat over there. They are. They're, like, really excited about that dude. So, I mean, we'll see. Only time will tell. Like, we can stop predicting who's going to do what. I just feel like AP to the Raiders was just the best fit. There was nobody else that was going to bring, they could have brought in to encourage those guys to play the way that he does. And then I feel like that Harbaugh is going to have the greatest impact on that team.
Yeah, I agree. My favorite was Raheem Morris, because I feel like he's gonna have a similar kind of path that D'Amico Ryans is having with the Texans. But I did like the fact that the Raiders finally got it right and lifted the interim tag and kept Pierce. And Harbaugh's kind of self-explanatory. You kind of know what he's gonna build. He already brought over the strength coach, he brought over the DC from Michigan. So it's gonna be pounding the rock, physical football, tight end heavy, helping out Justin Herbert, that sort of thing. But Mitch, what was your favorite or some of your favorites from this cycle? Good sir.
There's only two I mean Pierce is a good one. But there's two that were changes that I really like. Obviously Harbaugh is number one. The Chargers were a Staley away from being anything. Like, that's what they were for the last few years, just a Staley away, and they got a Harbaugh. Good job. I disagree a little bit with JB. I really like Mike McDonald going to the Seahawks. I think that's going to be a really good fit. I think it's a little bit under the radar. I definitely like that more than I like Brian Callahan to the Titans as a change. The Panthers are a dumpster fire. That owner is a wreck. You could get Harbaugh going to the Panthers, and I don't have trust in Harbaugh. So everything else, I think, is just another coach they got. Like, it's going to be the same.
All right, there it is. Well, look, that is some NFL Savage recap. If you haven't already done so, please make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue on all social media. Subscribe to our YouTube for more content. We're always putting up short clips. And again, if you are missing this on the live stream, we got you, baby. You can watch or listen to full episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And moving this thing right along, gentlemen, well, one of us on this fucking show is a champion. And wouldn't you know it? It is the Michigan Wolverines winning the Natty for the first time since I was a young boy in 1997. Harbaugh fulfills the promise, and they've promoted Sherrone Moore, who was the interim head coach for all these fucking crazy ass, oh, they're stealing signals using the fucking Morse code, and Harbaugh's buying kids a fucking hamburger, and all the sanctions are going to come down. But they promote Sherrone Moore to head coach. So, JB, just your overall thoughts on Michigan season, your belief in them or not to win a title, and then your thoughts on them promoting Sherrone Moore to being the head coach.
Well, I mean, I always, you know, I always move for the block. You know, the block him. I've always had, you know, a love for them. Just to watch them play, you know, it was magical. It was a great season. They were strong in every aspect of the game. And then, of course, you know, once you, and what I saw Washington championship. I was like, well, that's going to be a wash. Right. So you can pretty much just hand him a ring right now. You know what I'm saying? Washington could have been for a better coach team. You know what I'm saying? I think more talent in better places. And it showed, right? Better offensive line. And that was, you know, the key. They just basically whooped their ass up front the whole game. Defense, offensive line. So shout out to them. And then, of course, hiring your man. You know what I'm saying? That was kind of a no-brainer. Like, you bring in and you keep the person that's going to inspire these kids to play ball. You keep the person that's been there, you know what I'm saying, and the person that the kids rock with, right? And he did show improvement, you know what I'm saying, when he was in the head coaching position. And why not, right? You keep that person in as the spearhead of your team, and you're going to continue to have good success because he's going to continue to be mentored by the man that left him, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think, you know what I'm saying, Sean Moore getting the job is probably the best thing he could have did. There's going to be more success coming up, you know what I'm saying? He's going to keep the same mindset. He's the offensive line guy, so, of course, he's going to want to pound the rock. And then play action heavy, and they're going to kind of keep the same mindset as they did when Harbaugh was there. So, yeah, they're going to be just fine.
And, Mitch, they did play your Washington Huskies in the Natty, and they got it done. So what was your assessment of watching Michigan in the Natty? And on the flip side, what did you see from Washington? Obviously, you know, they're going to be losing Michael Penix. They're going to be losing Odunze to the draft as well. And then Kalen DeBoer, of course, flies the coop when he took the Alabama job, which we're going to get into in a second. But what was your thoughts of actually watching Michigan and Washington in the Natty game?
First half was good, but I felt like Michigan would still dominate. Like, you know, when you see a tied scored, but you're like, it's not tied. Like, mm-hmm. I know the score wasn't tied at halftime, but it felt like that. It was a close game, but I was like, yeah, Michigan's winning, though. Like, they're going to win this. There was a small tinge of like, ah, oh, Mitchell's drunk on hope. I was hoping, but I knew it wasn't going to happen.
Other things, man.
Right. So, I think Washington, they've done good the past few years, despite getting a new coach every year for the last 3 years, I believe. They keep recruiting really well. I don't know how they do it. I keep thinking their time is nigh. Like, they're losing they're losing their best wide receivers, who I believe had one of the better wide receiver classes this year. And I don't know how they're going to come back, but I have faith that they'll bounce back because they keep somehow doing it. My only thing is, I don't know if they will now that they go to Big Ten and they have to do all that traveling. That sucks when you're not used to that much traveling immediately. But they're not going to be in the playoffs. Well, they might. I guess top 12 now, right? They might be in the playoffs, sneak in there.
Yep.
They're not going to be top four, though. Like, and I like that they promoted within. I'm always a huge proponent of promoting within. I like it.
Yeah, look, Washington's a good program. It's going to be interesting to see when they make that transition with Oregon, with USC, with UCLA to the Big Ten, and just how, you know, how that affects the schedule and with the expanding playoffs. So I'm excited about it. I mean, and listen, I said this on the show and off the show, if this was going to be the year that Michigan was going to do it, this had to be the year, because we knew that Harbaugh was flirting with the Broncos, flirting with the Vikings. He had a wandering eye. He had one foot out the door, and this was a year that they finally had to get it done, and thank God they did. Watching that Rose Bowl was a fucking amazing game against Bama. And speaking of Bama, Mitch, holy shit, Nick Saban has got tired of all the fucking NIL and Lamborghinis and collectives and the chains and the ice, and he's sick of it. His old curmudgeon ass, despite being the GOAT, is sick of dealing with these goddamn 18 and 19 year olds, and he retires for now. 292-71-1 college record with 7 natties, including 6 with Bama and his first with LSU. Mitch, your overall thoughts on Nick Saban as a head coach, and do you think he's just going to take a media break and come back, or where do you think he's at in his life and career?
Great career. I hate you only because I respect you too much. I just need somebody to hate. Nick Saban.
Is it Nick Saban or me?
both of you. Both. Nick Saban in this situation. But you know who, like, this is a generational thing. Bear Bryant was tired of dealing with 18-year-olds because, well, guess what? That was like 40 years ago. Maybe not. But this is a generational thing. We all dog on 18-year-olds because we can. I think Nick Saban's done, though. It's hard when you're that age to work 16-hour days, to get on those planes, to scout, to do all that shit. It's hard. I don't blame him at all. I think he's going to love media. He's going to work 2 hours a week, and he's going to make more or as much.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's probably going to get a big bag from ESPN or somebody to be, you know, be on one of college game day or like, you know, or a big noon kickoff to be on one of those desks. So he's certainly going to get paid, and you know, he's a pitch man for Aflac, so he's still going to be doing that. But JB, your quick thoughts on Saban's career and what you think his future is overall as well.
Well, he's done with ball. I can give him that. He's the GOAT, you know what I'm saying, greatest college coach of all time. And that's just that, you know what I'm saying? I love him because he's a stickler for technique. One of the greatest things about Alabama, while he was there the entire time, he was there even with the emergence of the portal, is that kids that knew and they got it stayed at Alabama because they knew that they were going to play sparingly for a year and a half. They're going to start for a year, and then they're going to the NFL and play for 10 years. Right, because they were so well prepared to be NFL football players because of the system and the technique and the coaching that they were getting at Alabama. So that's the greatest thing that I think Saban did, man. And of course, and that's the reason why they were so good, because they had these four or five-star players, and they made them such great technical football players. And of course, you know, somebody playing against a lot of college kids that aren't like that, you're going to have success. So that's one of the greatest things that he's done, and he brought people along with him coach-wise that adopted his theory of technique and of discipline. And, you know, we've all seen him blow his top when, you know what I'm saying, discipline is not upheld. But that's one of the reasons why he's so successful. But he's done with ball. So he'll be talking shit on somebody's broadcast, you know what I'm saying, before a game, like you said, college game day or whatever. I don't think he'll be a staple on that, but I think he'll be one of those guest appearance people, you know what I'm saying, like pop on and watch him talking shit.
Yeah, I agree. Well, speaking of coaches that are ending their careers and some that are just beginning, UCLA's Chip Kelly flies a coop to be the OC at Ohio State. They're trying to do whatever they can to get over this ass whooping from Big Blue. And our guy, friend of the show, Coach Foster, is now the head coach at UCLA. You saw us giving him his props and resharing from our interview. Go run that back at JB and Benny Blue. JB, just give your flowers to your former teammate and your guy, and wink, wink, nudge, nudge, potentially future employer, when you want to deal with them damn kids. Coach Smoke, a.k.a. Coach Foster. Yeah. Tell the people.
Smoke, man, I'm proud of you, bro. You know what I'm saying? I told him this already, but I'm telling the people that I'm proud of my brother. Man, he's been coaching for quite a while. He's been at UCLA the bulk of his career. He had a short stint over Texas Tech. But he's passionate about what he does. He loves his kids. He wants to progress his kids. He wants to make them good professional athletes. He wants to make them good young men. Because of his upbringing, background, he uses that and he instills that in these young people. And he understands the work aspect, which is great, right? He makes these kids understand that hard work is going to pay off and there's no substitute for it. And then he speaks their language. He's still young enough, you know, to speak their language and to be able to understand and deal with kids, right? Whereas a Saban, who has gotten tired of it, and I can totally understand shit. It's like you're going to see multiple generations of phases of football, right? So Smoke is still right there at that age where he can still relate. You know, so he can talk to his kids, he can understand them. And yeah, I expect great things from UCLA going forward.
Well, we're excited to see it. You know, we're going to support, you know, we're going to be sharing the program, you know, on our social pages. And also, I mean, he's a great developer of talent. I mean, he is sending, you know, guys that are walk-ons in the draft and running back.
On the cool, he probably got like four kids in the league right now, running back, like four, maybe six, mm-hmm. and a running back, you know what I'm saying? He's had his hands on, you know, 2 or 3 years, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he's doing it right. So, yeah, I'm loving to see it, man. Again, congratulations to my brother, man.
Yep, congratulations to Coach. And speaking of program building, Mitch, the Colorado Buffaloes had a ton of hype. They're getting all the celebrities, limousine riding, jet flying. They finished 4-8, losing the last six. A couple of them, they really just tricked off in Coach Prime's first season. They do have the number 5 transfer class for 2024. They did get Jordan Seaton, the big 5-star hog out of IMG Academy. But, you know, you just being the artist formerly known as the Pac-12, what did you see from Colorado when they started and how they finished, and where do you think they're going as they move into the Big 12, Mitch?
All right, follow me for a second because I'm start off as a hater and then I'm going to go and make sense at the end of it. They beat a
only
lot
you,
of teams.
Only as you can, Mitch.
I They beat a lot of teams that we thought were better than they were, which happens every year in college. Those rankings are bullshit every year. And then we're like, oh, this team's good. They lost. Then they started losing games to teams that were unranked. But they lost a lot of close. Here's where I'm not a hater anymore. They lost the games, a lot of them close. All right. A lot of the times the ball can bounce a different way and your record changes completely. You see that every, like the Chargers with Phillip Rivers. Like, they score the same amount of points, but they could be 13-3 or 3-13. It was the weirdest fucking thing ever. Every year, it bounced back. So, easily, Colorado could finish better. Their conference just got a hell of a lot harder, though. That's for sure. And they fixed their problem. I want to see more with the talent they have. This, to me, this is going to prove to me how good of a coach Deion's. I know Deion's a good coach. This is going to prove to me, though, how much he can do with the transfer class. I'm going to learn this year what's more important, a transfer class or scouting 24/7, like a Cristobal kind of guy that gets those good talents there, or can you steal them from Cristobal? I don't know. We're going to learn a lot this year. I don't know what the answer is.
Sure.
I think Colorado will be better than 4-8. They played their asses off. They just lost close fucking games, and there ain't shit you can do about it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. JB, real quick, your thoughts on Colorado this past year and going forward?
They're going to be rough next year. All Deion needs is dogs. That's bottom line. He's a great motivator, but he does have great coaches on the staff. That's the thing you can't negate. Right? We can't look over there. He has great coaches on the staff. Right? So, and again, they believe in the same thing, you know, technique, making sure these guys play this football. So they're going to be good next year. They lost a lot of games this year. Some stupid negligence. Their offensive line wasn't very good, especially on the inside, and their defensive line was horrible, right? So a lot of games, they just couldn't keep up because of the depth that teams had. Of course, you know, the losses they suffered when Deion came in the door, and they really just did the best they could with what they had. So they're going to be rough next year, trust me.
All right, there it is. Now, gentlemen, I don't know if you heard the news, but I'm excited about this. There's been a lot of shuffling in real life with all the conferences and coaches retiring and the transfer portal and the whole thing. But NCAA college football is coming back this year, and they're offering 11,000 players $600 and a free game copy for NIL rights use. It's a new day. You're going to be able to see the goddamn names in the game now. But JB, do you think they're going cheap with $600 a player? What are your thoughts on the deal for the players and their name, image, and likeness rights to actually be in this game?
Who are you asking, me or Mitch?
Yeah, JB, I'm asking you.
That's great. I mean, you were breaking up like something vicious, so I really couldn't really hear what you were saying, but. It's great. I mean, shit, these kids are, you know, their names on the back of their jerseys on the football field. So why not be on the back of their jerseys on a game? Like, so, and then with $600, I mean, I don't know, man. You know, there was a thing, you know, when I was playing ball in college, you know what I'm saying, that the whole NCAA thing, the whole EA Sports, like, we were getting like damn the $1,600, $1,700, you know what I'm saying, just to have been in that game, you know what I'm saying, have, you know what I'm saying, our name, like, you know, because they used to have your bio in that game, right? So we were getting $1,600, $1,700. Now they're offering $600. I mean, hey, you know what? It is what it is, right? NCAA is going to do NCAA teams. So right? Why argue with it? Why try to say whatever? They're going to do it for what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, speaking of changes, Mitch, we are getting the new college football playoff format starting in 2024. The top four teams, try to do a little research on this. The top four teams get a bye. It's a conference champs, not necessarily the power conferences, but it's the highest ranked conference champs. And 5 through 12 will play each other in the first round on the home field of the higher ranked team. And then the New Year's Eve bowls, you know, the Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, all that stuff, Fiesta Bowl, those are going to be the quarterfinals and semifinals. So, Mitch, what are your thoughts on the expanded playoff, and are you excited about it, and how do you think it's going to work?
First off, EA, be better. We all know if you do $600, you have to put it on their taxes. If you do $599, you don't got to put that on your taxes. EA, be better than that.
Yeah.
Treat the kids good. All right, okay, so over that. I think, I don't hate it. I hated it at first. I don't hate it anymore. I think the only thing it sucks for It's the team that loses in the conference championship. Because you think 10, 11, 12 probably didn't make a conference championship. They were a high-ranked team, didn't make it because something happened. They got a bye week. They did not make the conference championship. The people that win the conference championship get a bye week. The ones that lose have to play the next week against the team that had a bye week. That is the only thing I don't really like, is that the losers of the conference championship get screwed the hardest.
True. JB, your thoughts real quick on the format?
I'm glad it's like that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be shitty. It's going to be kind of weird at the beginning, you know what I'm saying? But, like, the opportunity for a lot of these smaller schools to even just get the recognition to say that, hey, we went to the top 12, right? We went to the playoffs, right? What's the name of the school? James Madison, who was undefeated all year, right? Like, yeah. That's an opportunity for
Liberty James Madison. Liberty was up there, yeah.
Right,
UCF you know, went 2 years undefeated.
Yeah. Right, even so they might get smoked, you know what I'm saying, when they get up there. But, hey, recognition, you know what I'm saying, money, all that stuff is coming to these schools because, hey, we just got to the top 12, the playoff bracket, yada, yada, yada. So I think it's pretty cool, man, you know what I'm saying, especially for those smaller schools that have had success, that are having success, like those schools in particular, you just named, like undefeated, like, you know what I'm saying, so, and we're ranked in the nation. So, hell yeah, man, you know what I'm saying, I'm all for it. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be exciting.
Well, there it is, people. That is some NFL and college football savage recap. Whether you've been watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or you're going to tap in later, we appreciate you. Make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue on all social media. Again, you can run this back, watch or listen, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And as always, the man needs to take us home with some We Need Us. Mr. Bridges, talk to the people about where your mind is at, sir.
Oh my God. You know what I'm saying? It's been so long since I spoke to the people about things like this. With all this kind of shit going on, man, people out there, raise your damn kids, right? Stop letting social media raise your children. Start making your kids be accountable for the things they got going on. Raise a tougher brand of children. I deal with kids all day. I see them all day in my gym. These kids are getting worse and worse by the day, right? Social media is raising these children. They keep their phones in their hands. They have everything at their fingertips. Parents, we got to do a better job of getting our hands back in our children, like reaching in, you know what I'm saying, and taking our kids back, right, and making sure that we're hands-on and we have, you know what I'm saying, our voices are guiding our children, you know what I'm saying, going forward because we're losing them, right, we're losing them. And no matter what we think and what we say, it's making it really bad for us because of us. We guys are sitting right here, I'm 23 years old, Mixie's a youngin', Benny's right there on the cusp, but like, there is, at some point, these kids are going to be running our country, right? So, like, we are just developing a weaker brand of people, trying to make our whole nation weaker. So, parents, you got to start doing a better job. Bitches, get out of the club. Bitches, get off social media. Try to be social media fucking stars. Start raising your goddamn kids. Dads, get present in your kids' lives. You know what I'm saying? Do more. Talk more. Reprimand more, right? We just need our children to be better, right? And for those kids that are doing it right, keep doing it. All right, your boy JB, man. What episode is this, Benny?
I don't know, man. Episode 253, something like that. You know, I don't even know how we're keeping track at this point. But either way, when we're coming back, man, you can make sure to tap in with us at JB and Benny Blue. We will let you know how that's going to come back. And then the next thing we're going to be talking about in the next episode and all that shit, you can still get our premium dope content and all that. And until next time, reviewers, we love you. We love you. Appreciate you tapping in. And we are out, baby. Peace and love. That's right. Peace and love.
I love you.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses. Plus, updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.